He's hardly made a splash in the population-rich metropolitan area. He was the last entrant in the race for governor. He didn't stick around the DFL convention long enough to do much more than give a speech and then withdraw from the endorsement process, and he's low in most polls. But he's casting a political shadow on this year's gubernatorial race that has the frontrunners looking over their shoulders. On a Saturday morning in Virginia, Doug Johnson hops on a green Polaris four-wheeler for the town's annual Land of Balloon Parade. Waving to the crowds along the town's main street, Johnson is in his element. It's in places like Virginia where Johnson has the kind of name recognition he says only his big city rivals enjoy. One woman remembers him from high school. Another says he was her high school guidance counselor. Almost everyone, like resident Marlene Jarvie, can recall meeting the legislator over the years.
I saw him up the Black Bear one Saturday night. They have prime rib on special. Him and his wife came in there with a bunch of other people, and he came and shook her hand and talked to us. Very pleasant.
Jarvie and her friend, Sheila Marla, are enthusiastic about Johnson's campaign. They see Johnson as someone who will look out for them, stopping the perceived money drain to the Twin Cities.
And to talk to him, I mean, I've talked to him many times personally, one-on-one, and he seems like you want to really get out there, talk to the people, see what the people are looking for, what they want, and what have you, as opposed to, nothing against Arne Carlson, but as opposed to him, he didn't seem like he wanted to listen to people. You know what I mean?
Johnson says his ride on the four-wheeler and the fishing bobber on his campaign signs represent his commitment to regular folks and to creating more recreation opportunities in Minnesota if he's elected governor.
I think the Department of Natural Resources has been wasting a lot of the money that it gets, both from the legislature and from the fees, the license fees that it charges, whether it's fishing fees or hunting fees or snowmobile fees. Not enough money is going back into the field for facilities for those that want to join the outdoors.
Johnson's campaign advisor, Gary Cirkvenik, says Johnson has been a key advocate for Iron Range residents, helping spur economic development when jobless rates were at 20% in the 1980s. Cirkvenik also credits Johnson with leading the reform of the state's property tax system as chairman of the Senate Tax Committee.
You know, if it wasn't for Doug Johnson, the homestead credit wouldn't really be in existence today. And the whole shift of bringing more state resources to support school districts throughout Minnesota is part of the Doug Johnson legacy, which lessens the burden on local property taxpayers and also makes education more equitable across the state.
Johnson's platform is a hybrid in terms of party lines. He's most outspoken on crime and education, pledging more money for prisons and schools, but says his top priority is an income tax cut. And he expresses admiration for Arne Carlson's fiscal management.
Well, first of all, the state's economy is very, very strong, and there's going to be about $2 billion available for tax cuts and for things like education and protecting the environment and good transportation plan in the state. I am going to downsize the state government, the state agencies. We're going to make them more lean, better delivery of services, so we're going to save some money there.
One issue that Johnson doesn't advertise as strongly is his opposition to legalized abortion, but it could be one of the most significant factors in the upcoming primary since it sets him apart from the other five DFL contenders. Republican gubernatorial candidate Norm Coleman holds similar views and faces no primary challengers. Stephen Scheer, head of the political science department at Carleton College, says with Coleman's place on the November ballot already assured, Republican opponents of legalized abortion have incentive to help Johnson in the primary.
I think you can expect that a number of supporters of, or I should say opponents of abortion rights, the Minnesota Citizens Concerned for Life, will encourage their voters not to vote in the Republican primary, but to cross over in the Democratic primary and vote for Doug Johnson since he opposes abortion rights.
Johnson expects the most votes from the 7th and 8th congressional districts, which cover northern Minnesota and St. Cloud. Their congressional representatives, Colin Peterson and Jim Oberstar, have endorsed him. He also hopes to take a share of votes in the northern suburbs of the Twin Cities. Scheer says the combined population of those areas could be a critical mass.
First, I think you can expect the Twin Cities to be fragmented in their voting. Therefore, outstate Minnesota becomes important if it votes emphatically for one of the six candidates. in a six-person race, you can win the nomination with less than 30% of the vote. So that's certainly within the realm of achievability for Doug Johnson. I think that's the premise for his whole campaign.
Polls show Johnson running in third place behind Skip Humphrey and Mike Freeman, and he faces significant challenges in the race. Despite his reputation as a labor ally, he lost labor endorsements in his own district to Freeman, who got there first. Then, news last week that he channeled tobacco money to one of his favorite charities put the campaign on the defensive. Johnson has joked that his low-budget campaign needs as much free publicity as possible, but Scheer says questions about Johnson's tobacco ties could bring notoriety he'd rather do without. In Duluth, I'm Amy Radel, Minnesota Public Radio.